back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the fall, the eating season, the football season. It has been too long since I had this guy on, and I wear his shirt. I think his shirt's in the laundry. I wear my State Fair shirt here all the time. I do not have an El Guapo shirt. I do not have a Beaumont shirt, although that would class the joint up around. Well, you put the Beaumont shirt on, you class the joint up. I had dinner at the Beaumont last week. It was delightful. It was delicious. I haven't been in El Guapo lately, but I was at State Fair the other day. I've done such a good job pimping your crab cakes and your chicken and waffles. And this is a true story. One of my dearest friends in the whole world, John Keller, who's a foodie, my buddy Hells, lifelong blood brother from Arkansas. All of my sports writer buddies were together over at the Guinness Open Gate on Saturday. Everybody I grew up with. I'm the youngest guy. And well, they have a lot of young people now from the Sun that came after I left. But everybody there of my generation, I was always the 15-year-old intern, and I'm now 53. So some of these folks, one of my dear friends has dementia. He was there, loved him up. But Hal's comes in, and I'm like, dude, it's 90 degrees. Get your ass over to the brewery. Let's get a beer. He's like, no. No, we're on a schedule. I got to go to State Fair. I'm going to State Fair, not coming to the brewery. My wife's pleading with him. Like, look, just stop by, get a beer. They got some pumpkin stuff. We'll go to State Fair. We want to go to State Fair. We just want to be here another day. No, we're going to State Fair. They went to State Fair, and they got an outdoor table, and we joined them late as we got there. And he had double crab cakes, and then he saw me order the chicken and waffles, and it kind of changed his life. And he realized, like, he was glad I was there. So there.
That's what the chicken and waffles are supposed to do, change your life.
Well, I had to show him where the jalapenos were like down deep into the batter, that it took me 15 orders of eating it to not feel where the heat was coming from. And this is when I started to like dissect these crab cakes. Evan Brown is here from State Fair, from El Guapo, from the Beaumont. I'm starting to lose track of the names of all of the places that he has. He's over in Catonsville. You're doing music over there, like tons of music. When I came in, I had to explain to everybody that was a stage over there. And my son went. Of course, my son had to go pick up the guitars across the street. And it was Eddie Van Halen turn, you know, while we were eating leftovers. But give me a little update on Catonsville. Are we going indoor yet? What's happening, man?
We're not going indoor yet, but we're probably going indoor soon. I mean, it looks like this weekend's going to be a little bit cooler. You know, State Fair specifically, we have music every Friday nights, which is great. There's a good turnout. A lot of good local bands come through and play.
When we came back from our anniversary, we flew in on a Friday night before the tour. So it was like July 30th in there. It was like that night. On Friday night, we flew in. We got in. We didn't want to cook. We were in the mood for an American cheeseburger, like your cheeseburger. And we went to your place. I remember texting you. And the band was playing. And it just sounded – I don't know who they were, but it had like a Wilco kind of sound. It was this sort of American folksy sort of rock, you know, sort of roots rock. I don't know what that band was. But we sat there for an hour and a half, and we're like, that's a good band, man. You got – and I know you brought the guys in. They all knew me. All the guys that did the setup for – that do all the sound there, they bent my ear one night. They were great, man. Like,
they've done a really good job with it.
Give me the inspiration for that, because I haven't had you on the show talking specifically about – I mean, look, a year and a half ago, you're trying to save your business for the third time, right? I tell your story to everybody. Two poor tallies, and you got you have this issue go on with COVID, and you put a tent up. And the next thing you know, I'm eating chicken and waffles in your tent. And the next thing you know, you got a stage. I don't – the ingenuity of what you've done there last year.
You know, Catonsville is called Music City, Maryland, and we wanted to kind of play into that a little bit. There weren't a lot of bars doing live music. So, you know, Johnny O has been really kind of big with that. Tom Quirk's been big with that, bringing live music to Catonsville. So we thought it would be a good idea, you know, with people being so comfortable outside, to put some music outside also. So it's not just kind of inside the building, the tent's there, it works well. We have a little stage there. You can come there on a Friday night, have dinner, and then listen to some music afterwards. They play till about 10:45, 11 o'clock. And the Sunrider guys who do put on the shows, you know, they're the ones finding the bands, have done a really good job of not just finding like the same sounding band every week. It's a different sort of sound every week, you know, whether it be Experience or Mallow Hill. And there's been some really
And the
nice
neat
bands.
Part about that is for people in the neighborhood or anywhere, come over, you know, whatever's there, you listen to. And right. and it is outside. It is safe. It is. Right. And I've loved this summer. Yeah, I think you know that. I kicked the summer off with you, right? I was with you right. Memorial Day. Absolutely. We have been together for fist bumps two or yep. three times. I feel like I see you a lot, but I haven't had you on the show since you were
with my car in Ocean City. It's crazy.
Well, we were in Ocean City. I was right. at the Beaumont when it opened, when you had an opening there in the middle of right. the tour with the Mueller family. Right. It was the night of serendipity. With Sandra right. Gallagher Mueller, right? So, yeah. I've been with you a couple of times, but I haven't like really talked to you about the summer. And I think part of the summer was this unleashed part of music, some right. planning on the back end mm-hmm. of COVID to say, I mean, this is why all the beach cities went crazy this year. I was down in Ocean City, packed. Yeah, everybody was rented full out because people committed, made plans early. But I think you started ramping up what a summer would look like outside after right. testing it the year before. Dude, I was in your place curbside, masks on, gloves on. Yeah. Your dining room was a carryout, literally a carryout stand. And where we are now over the last year with you with three locations now, all within a block of each other. Right. This has been a crazy time in your life, right? Like as a human, as an entrepreneur. Right?
I mean, you know, thankfully a flood isn't stopping us from doing business. So that Keith and myself have really thought outside of the box with a lot of these ideas of how to get people in, how to make them feel comfortable, which is huge for us. You know, going into the fall, it's always a little bit nerve wracking because you're not going to be able to offer a comfortable outside option. It's going to be a cold outside option. So people start to shift inside and we're already planning on, you know, how to make people feel more comfortable when they're inside with just precautions, you know, the variants and things like that. We just want to make sure they're comfortable when they walk in our building and they know that we're taking it seriously across the board. So
tell me about the Beaumont because I haven't had you brag on it yet. So do a little commercial for me right now. What is the Beaumont in Catonsville other than next door to Franco's if people aren't familiar with exactly where it is?
Yeah, we're right on the corner of Mellor and Frederick. And the Beaumont is basically the showpiece of the three. It is the higher end dining, the beautiful plates, the really nice in-depth wine list that's been really thought out and picked out, those bottles that we have, and some really nice steaks that we buy from right down the street at Truth's. I mean, Truth's is a local butcher. They've been there for, I don't know, since I was a little kid growing up in Catonsville, going down there with my dad and my mom getting meats and things. And they're just a great butcher. So, I mean, when we were going into this idea of doing a steakhouse, you know, we tasted, oh God, probably 8 or 9 different steaks from different areas, you know, whether it be up in Jersey or Philly or Virginia. And we put them all next to each other, cooked them the exact same temperature for the exact same time, and just really wanted to see how they tasted. And Truth's meats were very much better than the other options. So, and they're 3 miles away from us, right down in Noella. So that helps out a lot.
And well, the night I came in, you were just opening, and I wanted like a little strip steak, and you were out. And they're like, right. nope, you got to have the bone-in ribeye. And the next thing you know, I brought it home for my wife, and she wasn't hungry, but she ate it. And we're like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And the cream spinach. And I had what was the other thing I had on the menu that was so delicious? It was one
on that. I mean, the bone-in, shockingly enough, right, it's a steakhouse. But if you get the pork chop, the pork chop's absolutely
fine. I got the pork chop. The second time I went back last week, I got the pork chop with Jen. It's like a mustard maple kind of
it's
thing.
It's got a barbecue. It's a similar barbecue sauce. It's a variation on a barbecue sauce, but it comes with the cream spinach and the mac and cheese, and you get some char-barreled onions on there. And it's a phenomenal cut of meat. It's just, you know, it's not a New York strip or a ribeye. It's just an alternative to that. So, but the dishes and the food have been like very well received, and we've only done some stuff on Facebook for marketing. So we're kind of organically letting the word spread. And really concentrating on like very much the detail of the plate and the service that you're getting. So hopefully that just kind of spreads the word just because they're going out of their way to do almost a flawless job. I mean, it's never flawless in a restaurant, but as close to flawless as you can get.
Well, it's been beautiful both times we've been into the Beaumont. Evan Brown is here. He's been our friend for a number of years. Catonsville, born Absolutely. And bred, and with Don Mueller. You and I are both Don proteges of Mueller. It turns out Mueller raised everybody, I think, pretty much,
right? That's crazy. That's crazy. He's such a good guy. But yeah, I saw him today. He was in for lunch, and he was. We were talking about the game last night, which is phenomenal. So
well, and the Ravens raising, but things are getting a little more normalized in that way. And I don't want to, in any way, minimalize what's going on with COVID and masks. We had Johnny O at Acostas last week. I'm going to be out at Greenmount Station as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, which began at your place back in the in May. And we'll get back. No crab cake on the menu at the other two locations yet, though, right? Just stayed fair.
No, not yet. The crab prices are crazy. So we're going to wait a little bit longer before they get a little bit more in line.
I want to come in El Guapo. I haven't. I was there early on. I've curbsided. Right, yeah. But when I come over, for whatever reason, we wind up at State Fair most of the time. Beaumont, we went there about a week and a half ago. We were in the mood for yep. – we just weren't in the mood to cook, literally. We're just like, let Evans people make us some food. It's going to be delicious, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's there for. I mean, that's – and we tried to blanket sort of that area with – if you want some American, go here. If you want some Mexican, Salvadorian food, you head over here. If you want a nicer meal, like a higher end meal, you can come over here with a nice bottle of wine. So I think Catonsville's liked it so far. I hope they have. We'll just keep on working it.
I need to talk to you about the Marlin Open because you were there. Everyone knows Evan Brown is here from State Fair over in Catonsville. Brian Eater is my lifer friend. Literally, we grew up together in Berkshire in Colgate. And he has bought the Chaucer, and we did a crab cake tour stop over at his place 2 weeks ago Friday, our first stop before the Raiders game. We did that over there. And I got into it with him because, like, I could talk baseball card collecting with him or East Side old stories or Orioles, right? You know, all that. All of that. He's run bars forever. But he has become this deep sea fisherman. He won a whole lot of money last year in the Marlin Open. And he educated me as you tried to educate me a little bit about.
I was exhausted that day. I was trying.
Well, when the boats come into the harbor, they have the Marlin and the flag. And he told me his boat's 96 miles off the coast, that you have to declare between 8:30 and 9 o'clock in the morning. You decide whether you're really fishing or you're fake fishing that day. Like, you know, I learned a lot, and I don't know where the handbook is on all of this stuff. I was just a guy with some cheap beer staying on 14th Street down there a couple months ago, hanging out with you and him and doing it and seeing how taxing it was. A lot of pretty girls, too. It was all cool. A lot of Trump signs. I didn't like that. But the notion of what the sport is, and I don't know, dude. I didn't think I was going out on the SS Minnow, and I knew you could get seasick, and that's why my wife wanted no part of it, because she does tend to get a little seasick. And I get the sea legs and the wobble and the brain, you know, jelly thing, and I think that's where you were the last time we were together. But doing that and deep sea fishing, give me your story with it, because it's not something that's come to me that I would do or be a part of or whatever. Or it didn't even look like fun, to be honest with you, right. But I know it's something you have passion for.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good time doing it. It started kind of last year. A couple of friends of mine, they're local guys. They own WLC Contractors in Catonsville. They have a boat down in Ocean City. They have a house down there. And one of the sort of like bucket list items I wanted to do was fish in the White Marlin Open, which is something as kids, you know, we would be in Ocean City. We'd watch the boats go out. We'd watch the boats come in. We never really went to the weigh-in.
So you have a history with it. See, I've never – it's just something I know about because of people. But it's nothing I've ever aspired to be a part of or whatever. But to you, you did watch the boats go out.
Yeah. And if you talk to any fisherman that's in – like we were in Barbados this summer, and we were fishing with a guy, and we said we were from Baltimore, and he said White Marlin Open because it is the richest bill fishing tournament in the world. I mean, there's the most prize money out of anywhere else in the world, right out of Ocean City, Maryland. And – honestly, it's just one of those things where, you know, you live in this stressful environment of, you know, work and you're always doing something, but you step on this boat with some people that you really enjoy to spend your time with, and you go out to a place that you have no cell phone service, which is extremely rare. And it's almost sort of just like a relaxing type of time spent out there, because you're kind of staring at the water and you're listening to the water and you're looking for things on the horizon. You're looking for stuff floating in the water. Meanwhile, you're joking around with the people sitting there with you, not looking at your phone every 3 minutes for an email or a phone call or a problem trying to solve it. And it's just kind of like very peaceful out there. And really, it's just kind of this escape from reality. And you go out there and you have fun bringing in these fish and learning about how to bring these fish in. And You know, you look at odds.
I literally thought you saw the shore from where you were. You're way the hell out.
No, you're way. I mean, to give you an example, their boat, Brian's boat, which is Drillin' and Billin', they won last year. They won the most amount of money last year. And Taylor, who brought that fish in, is someone I know for years. And I'm so happy that they won. They go out. They're on a little bit of a faster boat than we're on. But you leave at 4:30 in the morning, maybe quarter of five, and you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can't drop your line until 8:30. And you know, some of these big boats have this technology on there where you can spot fish and things like that, but we're on a smaller boat. So you're kind of going out there and really truly fishing. And you're just trying to find these spots with water temps and things like that. And hoping that your lure will attract the right thing or your bait will attract the right thing. And your spread looks the right way. And
I went fly fishing at the end of the month and I didn't catch anything. So I've been fishing before. It can be frustrating if you're really obsessed with catching something.
Yeah.
It's kind of like golfing and caring what your score is. You know, I never cared enough to play. Do you know what I mean? Like
both of those two things, you can get a phone call and it can ruin your day in a second. There's no way you're getting that phone call when you're 86, 95 miles offshore. You can only go 100 during the tournament, but it doesn't matter. You don't have cell service after about 10 miles. That's done. So you just put your phone down, you put some music on and you just relax. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I have a great time doing it. Catching rockfish on the bay is fun too, but something about offshore is, I mean, some of those, you weren't there the last night, but the last night, you know, they brought in a 785 pound blue marlin. I mean, it was like the second to last fish coming in on the scales. It's 14 feet long. I mean, it's this monster sort of fish. It's impressive to just see the whole process. And if you're really in odds, if you're like a gambling person, you have a 424 boats this year to go out there and happen to drop the lure in front of the right fish and bring it in and weigh it. And the prize money for the white marlin this year was, $5.2 million. I mean, it's just insane to me that one boat was in first place the entire week. They were set up to win $5 million. And the second to last boat or the very last boat in on Friday night at 9 o'clock, put the winning fish up on the board and it dropped their money from $5 million to like $1.2 million. And then the winning boat won $3.8 million. It's just like the numbers are just, it's just crazy to think that there's that much money in that sport, but it's a lot. I mean, it's just, and the boats are so impressive.
Oh, the boats are incredible. That's part of it. Evan Brown is here from State Fair, from the Beaumont and from El Guapo, from Catonsville via Ellicott City and making it happen all around the place. The Maryland Lottery is sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Let yourself play. We're going to be doing that up at Greenmount Station in Carroll County from 2 until about 4:30 on Friday. We're going to be with Mayor Brandon Scott at Coco's 2 weeks from Friday on October the 8th. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be getting together with him. Just a little bit of football, a little bit of Ravens with you before I let you head out. It really, there's nothing like it, right? That brings people together and seeing that happen in front of me on Sunday and then seeing it online too. And then seeing all of these people that are sort of new to Ravens games. I'm being honest. Like that crowd was a different crowd of humans than was there when Ray Lewis was dancing. Just by a lot. You could see it, you could feel it, and the way they celebrated after the game, it was like we won the AFC Championship game. It was wild. It was exciting, exhilarating. I don't know where we go from here, but I know it's good for the franchise, and I know it's good for the city.
It's great for the city, and anything that brings money downtown to Baltimore right now is huge, so that's great for them. It's strange. I think that was the first big event I've been to since the Tennessee game, I think, probably in terms of like
that many people, right?
Right. And I was sitting there and it's just kind of, you know, you walk in there and it's like riding a bike, you know, you're around a ton of people, but at the same time, you're like, wow, man, this feels a lot different. I'm not used to this. It took 10, 15 minutes. So you kind of like are back into it again, but it was just amazing to see the stadium the way that it was last night. And with the people kind of going in and just like you said, I was in New Orleans for the Super Bowl and I don't know that there was that big of a celebration when we walked out to Bourbon Street afterwards. I mean, it was like, it was the greatest victory I've seen in Baltimore, I think, in Ravens history at this point with a home game. And people were just sort of thrilled with everything, which is nice to see. People need it right now.
People need to have some fun. There's no doubt about that. Well, I hope to get people over to Catonsville for fun on Friday nights or just any time. I mean, I love your places. I admit I haven't been to El Guay. I can't eat all three of them every time I come to Catonsville, all right?
I understand. I get it. I definitely get it. So now, all right. Question for you. What's the favorite crab cake right now? What's the leader?
You know, it hasn't been like that. It's been really? More like I've had good ones and bad ones. I had a couple.
One that just stands out as like, I'm going
to
go.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, it's a palate issue. I'm not trying to be evasive at all. I can give you 8 or 9 places where I had exemplary crab cakes. And I don't want to leave anybody out, but I will, right? Because I did 30. You want to go to a place called Old Salties in Hooper's Island. You want to go to Suicide Bridge over in Hurlock, Maryland. The Ocean City crab cakes I had, all three of them were fantastic. The Hobbit, fantastic. Blue, which is the Embers, that was like party. That was the broil on the bottom. That gave it that fried feeling on the bottom broiled on crispy on top the way broiled would be crispy and crispy on the bottom the way caramelized fried would be. And I don't know if it's a mayonnaise issue, a butter issue, or you know, whatever that would create that
oven temperature,
hot skillet, no doubt about it. Right. So Blue introduced me to that to some degree. Also, Harrison's Harbor Watch, they did something with some sort of little butter crust on top with a sprinkling of Old Bay. I've learned that I like a little bit of butter and a little bit of Old Bay. That's a sweet and a little salty profile. Not too salty, not just sweet, not just crabby, but also the mustard part, the celery seed part. I like a lot of, I know you have a very basic, we talked about this, your four ingredients at State Fair. I have found that I like my palate moves toward having a little bit more in it in different ways, but that doesn't a couple things. This is what I'm glad you asked me about this being the real chef that you are. Ingredients. The better the crab meat, the better the crab cake. And 100%. You can put tarragon and you put whatever you want in it. Yeah. If it's beautiful crab meat, it's hard to screw that up. And we've been through why Maryland crab meat is different, the brackish waters, all of that. Right. The next thing would be what you put in it. You have a lymphicum recipe, right? You said yours is very simple. What's yours?
So the recipe we have was something that was printed in the Sun in like early 1960s. It was like how to make a Maryland crab cake. And it was that my dad or my mom, one of the two of them have that story. It was cut out from just like a Baltimore Sun article about, you know, if you want to make the most Maryland crab cake, this is the ingredients. And it was just a simple ingredient.
Evan, I think there's about 5 or 6 different ways that they are made around the state in different, and I don't mean broiled or fried. I mean, literally ingredients, whether it's dry or wet mustard will be a difference. Whether you have Worcestershire or not, there's peppers and stuff that's more of an imperial side that a lot of Greek places use. And then there's, you know, to taste. How mayonnaise-y? Is it wet? Is it dry? What is your filler? Is it cracker? Is it saltine? Is it bread? Is it a special kind of breadcrumb? Is it a Progresso out of a can? You know, do you not want any binder at all? If that's the case, it has to be broiled because you can't fry it or fall apart, right? So there's all of those pre-qualifications. But I would say the meat, then the filler or the slurry or to taste. And then there's preparation. And to your point, the skillet, my favorite crab cake now is a broiled crab cake, probably with a dab of butter and the crab cake put on it on a hot, hot skillet that gets the bottom caramelized. And if it has some mayo in it, that makes it a little, almost like a cupcake on the bottom. And the top would be the broiled, you know, kind of little crunchy, but broiled, not fried. And then the inside is that sweetness that your crab cakes fame, you know, that just the way you make it, the slurry and getting it right. So it's not too wet, not too dry. And that would be the three parts of it. The crab, the actual slurry, and then the preparation, the technique is everything.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you this. The best crab cake that I've ever had has come from a table of crabs, you know, where people sit around, they pick the crabs, weren't done eating them. It goes in the refrigerator for a day, and then you make the crab cakes the next day. Something about that steaming and all parts of the crab being incorporated, not just like a jumbo lump, but having some claw meat in there and back fin and things like that, where it's just, it's like perfect. Get some of that mustard in there too, that real Maryland mustard. It makes all the difference in the world. Those have been the best.
They make it that way. The most remote crab cake I had, because I've had such, it hasn't even been about the crab cake as much as it's been about the experiences and the people I've met, sure, and stories. I mean, literally, that's been the gift to me. That's been the eternal gift, because the crab cake went in my belly and it was delicious and I'll go back. I'll give you a couple of places. I had a delicious crab cake out in Deep Creek Lake at Dutch's. There's a Dutch's Daughter in Frederick, which is apparently the same crab cake. I had a crab cake in Frederick at a place called the Tasting Room. Phenomenal. I had a crab cake at Leland's in Howard County. Fantastic. Fantastic what he did. Maggie's in Westminster was fantastic. So I've had a lot of, I don't want to be dismissive, but if you're in the car and you're on the Eastern Shore, I found some off the beaten path places that are sort of famous for all. You can Google these places. That it's not my secret. I found these places, but they're worth the trip. And the places, going to Blackwater Refuge, going and seeing the Harriet Tubman Trail, all of that on the way to Hooper's Island, that's what you want to do. See the birds, see the marsh, see the trees, see all of that. See the landscape. We're such a beautiful state. Maryland's so beautiful.
I take that drive to Ocean City, and my stepdad has property on the Ocean City. On the Eastern Shore, and he just kind of introduced me to like his farmland and things like that. And driving down these sort of back roads and seeing the real sort of not the 50.
You know, told me about that Billick. Billick's not from around here, and he lived on the Eastern Shore. And he and Kim would bike because it's so flat. Most of the Eastern Shore is flat, so they had bikes and they biked everywhere, and they would just talk about like. It's like a place in Europe in the Dutch fields or something, or it could be like the marshlands of like Louisiana in various places, right? Especially on the Blackwater side.
You take that 404 direction to go sort of the North Ocean City through Delaware.
Oh.
And man, it feels like you're in Iowa. I mean,
I went to Denton and I had a crab cake in Denton. Yeah. My wife had the best cheeseburger of adulthood in Denton, Maryland. Yeah. At a place, Market Square, I think it was called, or Square, I'll give it to you. I'm recapping the 30 days and I'm putting the videos and all the headlines. Next month I'm doing that. And I needed a little decompression to come back and run my business a little bit. But I'm going to recap all of them into the winter to let everybody know where I went. And I'll leave you with this. Evan Brown is here from State Fair, from El Guapo, from the Beaumont. Please go out and support all of their places. I'll leave you with this. I enjoyed it so much when I came back. And the Maryland Lottery is now sponsored the actual tour. But next year, I'm going to do 31 crab cakes in 31 days in August. And I'm going to do it and do all new things. I'm going to come to the Marlin Open again because I think Ocean City is going to be involved in some way. But I'm going to have different crab cakes in different places, see different things, do different things. That I enjoyed it that much. I gained 11 pounds. I lost eight of it back. Yeah, I gained 11 pounds. I lost eight of it back.
I was going to ask you what the next food thing is. Like, what are you going to?
I'm going to do crab cakes. I'm going to do 31 crab cakes in 31 days next summer.
Will you ever get away from that and do a different, I don't know, recipe?
Like
we always talk food. So that's why I'm asking that question.
Huh? I like oysters.
There you go. You got plenty of those options.
My wife wants to do crab soup because we didn't have any good crab soup on the trip. And
that's a great one, actually.
Okay, so
that's a great idea because I've had some really bad Maryland crab soup, and I've had some phenomenal Maryland crab soup.
Well, what makes it phenomenal? That's your homework.
I mean, I have that answer pretty easily. If it's not red, I'm good.
The answer is brown sort of color. That the answer is get my wife and get in the kitchen, and we're going to figure it all out because she made 5 gallons of. The most ridiculous crab soup I've ever had in my life. But we kitchen sinked it. We put everything in it. I mean, lima beans, fresh lima beans, fresh okra, fire roasted tomatoes, fresh green beans, fresh corn, potatoes, bacon, cabbage. Got to have cabbage in the root for the sweetness. So like all of that went in. And we went to Costas. And I went to Al's and I got crabs from both places because they're very different. Their rubs are different. We pulled the legs off. We cook with the legs. Chad gave me a pound of Maryland crab meat. like legitimate hall crab meat.
Yeah.
And we put that in day three and four. And I put it in with a big tab of butter and I Old Bayed it and I black peppered it and I let it sink into the soup. I let it simmer over about 8 hours on the fourth day.
It was the best crab soup I've ever had. Because I know we can sit here and talk about food all night long. And we've done that before. We did like a chef's tour. At the time, J.J. McDonald was taking people and educating them about the oyster recovery program. So they took us over to Hooper's Island to a place called Barren Island Oysters. A guy named Timmy owned it. And we went over there and he was showing us his operation, his farm, and kind of shucking oysters for us to taste. They're beautiful oysters. And at the same time, like they took us to a crab picking house, which was right down the road. And I forget if it was T.L. Morris or one of the picking houses over there. And they showed us kind of what went into picking the crabs. And they gave us a couple of pounds of crab meat to take with us. Then we went back to Barren Island and the guys there had run down the street to the farm and picked up all these ingredients to make a crab soup. And they had like ham hock. They were working on a stock with the ham hock. And then they said it's lima beans or soybeans.
Lima beans, yes.
Yeah.
They soak up that flavor and make it delicious. Yeah.
With corn, it was like fresh tomatoes. It was Maryland crabs. And they were saying, they're like, crab soup is everything basically on these farms just thrown into a pot and boiled down. So if you can buy it on the Eastern Shore, it's supposed to be an ingredient in Maryland crab soup, cabbage, things like that. And I was sitting there watching them do this. And, you know, usually, you know, with a crab soup, you want it to sit, they had potatoes on there, everything. You want it to sit so everything has a chance to kind of break down and taste melt. Delicious the next day, right? Well, they gave it to us as like this bite after about 45 minutes of cooking this. They had worked on the stock for a long time with the actual hocks themselves, which gave off a great flavor. And I took a bite of this and I was like, oh my God, like this is what a Maryland crab soup. I've never had this before. It's so fresh. All these ingredients are so fresh. It's just incredible. You could taste the sweetness from the corn. You could taste the lima bean. You could taste that whole bit. And I was like, I don't know that I'll ever be able to replicate this. And I've tried, but it's almost like you had to drive down that street and get the produce and bring it back and go through that whole little exercise to make that what it is. But good Lord, it was.
You didn't have the soul to make it. Yeah, it was. You know what I mean? It comes with soul. It comes with the soil.
I might be able to pull that off, but not in 45 minutes like they did. It was unbelievably impressive. And the guy just sitting there cutting them up and dropping them in there in this boiling, you know, pot of big stock. It was just, and the ham hock was breaking apart. So you had little pieces of pork in there too. It was just.
Bacon. We use bacon, and you know she went with carrots and celery and onions in the stock, and then bacon, then fire roasted tomatoes. Fire roasted was kind of a secret ingredient there because the fire roasted interacts with the bacon really nicely, and then she went chicken stock, straight up, and then all of the above, fresh okra. And, you know, she had stuck toothpicks into the okra to let it de-slime. If you put toothpicks in it, it gets the air out. I said to her, no, you want it slimy. You want it cooked. You want it because it's going to make it stewy. It picks up that – it's not thin when it has that in it, you know? So, yeah, man, I look, all night long, we're going to make food together, you and me. I'm hungry for crying out loud. Yeah, Evan Brown, this is what he does. Kind of dirty, Evan. He gets you hungry, and then you have to go to the Beaumont. Then you have to go to Elkmont. Then you have to go to State Fair. Hey, man, I'll come see you soon and get some chicken and waffles. I was in your place 48 hours ago. So
I appreciate it all the time.
But I owe you a Beaumont visit for sure, and stop by and try everything on the menu there because it's all been so delicious. Oh. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for everything. We'll see you soon.
Very soon. Absolutely.
We're going to be in the State Fair and over in Catonsville in the 21228, where life is great, live music on Friday nights over at State Fair. Beaumont now open with those delicious steaks, locally sourced, and our friends at El Guapo, where I got to get a margarita. I just got to get a margarita. I just got to belly up to the bar. I'm going to come over like a Saturday when the Terps are on or something and just kind of hang out over there.
Good idea.
Like,
they're playing great, too.
All of a sudden you got to make room for Saturday. All right, Evan Brown can be found anywhere that great food is served in Catonsville. Go see him. He's been one of our longtime sponsors. Well, we'll be out there and I'm talking some more sports soon. All right. You can find me anytime, anywhere at Baltimore Positive, nasty at WNST.net, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, anywhere the internet serves. And I get to wear my nasty bitch shirt. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.